Hey, happy Saturday, you guys.
We're back. Pookie's just sleeping right there in front of the camera. What you doing, Pookie? Yeah.
You know she wants to put her butt up in
yeah,
the camera.
It's only a matter of time.
It's like it can't be the show without her butt in the camera.
We got some movies in today.
We got some movies. Every day's like Christmas around this place
because
somebody's sending us stuff. Check it out. Check it out. Got the Blu-ray of the Halloween classic. Also, yet another classic. Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, it looks like a deluxe
Wes
edition.
Wes Craven. Yeah, and it's like, it's funny because we had actually, we were scheduled to do a movie retrospective on this for next week. And we had just been watching it on Shudder. And I had just like watched half and then I was like really tired and I fell asleep. But it's like, this will be much, much better because this will have extras and stuff like that on it, which will be good for the review. So thank you. I guess it's from, I don't know if it's from
Rob.
It's from Joseph or...
Maybe
there could
Sophie.
Be like, yeah, there's several people that had said that expressed interest in sending me stuff, and I'm not sure.
It's like, probably Rob.
I would think. He's the one that usually sends us movies, but we do get ones from other people too, so I'll find out who sent them, and then I will thank you by name, because I'm not really sure like what it was. So yeah, we're kind of sleepy today.
The show last night wiped me out.
We stayed up really late, like, recording the show. And it ended up, I was just editing it earlier today, and it ended up being 3 hours and 43 minutes.
I got
we
loaded.
We never shut up, did we? We just go on and on.
I got loaded, started going off about how I wanted to be a Lakota Indian.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think I made any sense. I remember.
Yeah, you did. I think you did.
Sense.
I think you did.
Okay.
I was like editing it today, and like I had kind of had to scrub through and like kind of skip through and stuff, like you know, so I'm not taking forever to do it. But it seemed to be a really entertaining show.
Okay,
it's like I really thought it's two different topics, but I was like, you know, I thought it'd be an interesting topic, but then like once I got into it and once we kind of got into discussions about it, and I started like looking more into it and stuff, it actually ended up being like one of the most fun shows I think that we've done in a while. I mean, most of our shows are fun, but like this one, for some reason, this one just seemed like really interesting, and I guess I was just like in the mood to talk
about cannibals. Old
even,
West cannibals,
even more cannibals.
Yeah,
and we didn't even like talk that much about food. I was expecting us to go off on like all this food stuff like we did on the Jeffrey Dahmer show, but that didn't quite happen. We ended up talking about Chuck Norris there for some reason.
Yeah, yes, right. I forgot.
I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
It
was Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal, I think I was talking about.
Yeah. It was bothering me because we were talking about, and I mentioned this on the show too, but it's like, you know, I've seen, for whatever reason, pretty much every Chuck Norris movie ever made, and because my ex-husband used to be like a big fan of his. And so he kind of forced me to sit through all of them. And you know what I mean?
So I wanted you to appreciate the Norris.
I guess. So
how
it's like,
good Chuck was.
So I've seen all of them, but it's like I'm not really into like most of his more action movies. Like The Octagon was good. But there was one and it's driving me. Oh, I just remembered. And I couldn't remember on the show. I said the only one that I really liked was he was in a sort of horror movie. Like where it was like a series. He was like after a serial killer. There was like martial arts and shit in it, obviously, because it's Chuck Norris that we're talking about, but it was more focused on the serial killer, like the thriller type of aspect. And I liked that. Silent Rage. That's the fucking name of it.
Yeah,
I was trying to like think of it last night of the show. I'm like, what the fuck is the name of that movie? It was like right on the tip of my tongue and I couldn't think of it. And then I just forgot to look it up. But yeah, I just remembered it like 20 seconds ago.
I'm not 100% sure how he became an action movie hero. This is because of Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
That had to have been.
Yeah. Well, because that's how he got his start in one of the Bruce Lee movies, because he fought him.
Yeah.
In one of the movies, because Bruce Lee trained him.
Right.
Like, for a time.
And I really didn't like Bruce Lee movies.
Well, he only made, like, four.
He made, like, four of them, and I just didn't really think there was anything really to them. You know what I mean?
I liked Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Kind of. I can't remember anything about them.
Yeah.
They didn't really stay with, they didn't really stick
with me. I saw it
a
bunch of times. Oh, cat butt.
Yeah,
she's stretching. I knew it.
Did that? Where are you going? See if she can open a door.
Yeah, because I think the door of the office is closed. You might have to go over there and open it. She's got her little hand though.
Come on, poop.
She's probably like.
Come on, poop. Oh, you don't want to go out?
She's like, oh, okay.
She can get out.
I can be stuck in here. That's all right. She's so funny. She's like all last night. She slept in between my feet. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. She just likes to sleep by mommy, I guess.
I don't know why Chuck was a thing. I thought all of his movies were pretty bland.
They are very...
There really wasn't much to him, I didn't think.
Yeah, it's very strange how he kind of became this big, like, cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, because he just seems like this very... And I think I said this on the show, too, and it's like, I just don't think... He's not very charismatic, you know what I mean?
No. Like, I think I've seen most all of them, and I always just felt kind of like, why? What's this movie about? You know what I mean? The missing in action ones where he was, and the Delta Force ones, I remember that they were kind of a little more amusing.
Yeah.
But the other ones, I just thought they were just not much to him.
He doesn't have, like, a lot, like, a real distinctive personality.
And it was kind of like, he felt like it was over. You know what I mean? Even back in the 80s, it felt like it was over.
Yeah.
Like it was being replaced with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, and even, you know, the guy from Die Hard, Bruce Willis,
Bruce Willis, yeah.
Felt like they were, they were the main players at that time.
Well, because they were more like a character.
Right.
And I mean, Bruce Willis didn't even start out as an action star. He started out as like a comic actor. Right.
Whenever I saw Chuck Norris movies, because I rented it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It was like a B title. I'm like, well, this is the only thing that was available right now. You know, and I was just watching that.
Yeah, we didn't have like a lot of choice back then. You just kind of had to take what was on the fucking shelves and at movie gallery.
And I can't really remember anything about Chuck Norris movies. But you know, other movies I can remember. I can remember Stallone movies.
Yeah.
Even his bad ones. Like I remember Cobra. You know, that was a bad one.
Well, yeah, but that was like really cheesy and fun.
Yeah.
Did you see Over the Top?
Yeah.
That, you know, with the...
Of course I did. Don't you remember that was my military school?
Oh, that's right. That's right. The one with the fucking... Didn't he do... What was the one with the...
Which was funny. They used the cadets from my school. They asked my headmaster, Colonel Shehe, was in it. I think I had just left. I had just gone to Brazil when they used it. All right. But they didn't use the location. They didn't, they used some of the locations, but other locations were not the school.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't want to interfere with the daily school operations, too. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you can't like disrupt have all these little.
And I guess they didn't think the campus looked as good as what they wanted. Some of the shit looked like it was fucking done near Arlington Cemetery or something. Big marble fucking.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, you know, the front of the school had some cannons out in front of it, and it just like a White House with columns, but you know, just. They filmed a lot of it at another location.
Yeah. I can't remember if I ever sat through Over the Top or
not. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was very bad.
Well, I remember seeing the trailers and being like, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? And that was like whenever the fuck that came out. Well, we actually saw...
it's kind of like Roadhouse. But Roadhouse
is a delight.
Roadhouse.
It's just, it's so bad, but it's like so entertaining.
I think they were trying to, I don't know. I don't know what came out first. Maybe Over the Top.
Roadhouse, I think, was 87, maybe.
Yeah.
When was Over the Top? I thought Over the Top was like.
A lot earlier.
I thought it was 1990, to be honest, but I could be totally wrong.
Over the Top was a lot earlier.
I could be totally wrong.
No, I think it was, you know, mid 80s, maybe 85, something like
that. And then wasn't there also Cliffhanger? Which I don't think I ever saw, like, I never sat through the whole thing. However, Shitcase Cinema, I believe, did a retrospective on it, and that was very funny.
This is how dumb Hollywood is. They wanted to reboot Cliffhanger, okay?
Well, they're remaking everything.
They want to remake Cliffhanger, but not with Stallone, even though I think that's his property. I think he produced the original one.
He might have, yeah.
And it bombed. Okay.
Well, yeah, because it's a dumb idea.
It's a fucking dumb idea. They want to reboot that movie and then gender swap fucking Stallone to a female.
Well,
that wouldn't work.
Well, the thing is, why don't they just make like a mountain climbing movie with a woman if they
want
to
do that?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
And just call it something else.
That's just how dumb corporate Hollywood is.
I mean, because Cliffhanger, it's not like it's some like beloved property from back in the old days.
But they could afford it, I guess. That's not going to happen now because they were talking about that before the pandemic. But yeah, it's a fucking stupid idea. It's what fucking corporate fucking jackholes, the way they think. They're like, oh, that was a Stallone movie. Oh, that's got fans.
Yeah,
but let's,
name recognition.
But let's not use Stallone. All right, we'll gender swap it out to a female because we don't want Stallone's fans, you know. Like, well, who are you fucking shooting for, you know? And do you think people who are not fans of Stallone will go see Cliffhanger because Stallone's not in it.
Yeah, because pretty much the only people that would watch the original Cliffhanger are Stallone fans. Nobody else gives a shit about it.
But it's just how stupid.
It was a terrible movie.
Yeah. It's just how stupid corporate executives are. They're just fucking stupid.
Well, I just feel like, yeah, they're just kind of like, their whole thing is, well, name recognition. They don't really think, they don't seem to think through, like, the fan base for the particular film. Was this film even popular with the fans? Would anybody? And the thing about it, too, is that this happens a lot with horror remakes. And I'm not saying that all horror remakes are bad, because I've seen some good ones. But it really does seem like, I'm not really sure who they're trying to target with the audience, because I said, you know, hardcore fans of the original are not going to be real receptive to a remake because they're sick of that happening. And then it's like you have to kind of water it down, make it PG-13 and stuff like that to get to a wider audience. And it's like those people are probably not going to give a shit about it either, because it's like they don't have any nostalgic attachment to the original. So it just seems like there's two different audiences and you're just like whiffing it in both cases.
Exactly. And that's what the corporations did with both Star Trek and Star Wars. They're like, they didn't know what made Star Trek or Star Wars great. They didn't care. They just knew that it was a property and it was worth money. And they were like, let's make it and then they're like, we don't really want the original fans. We want more than the original fans, because the original fans is a small group. We need to take it to the big group. Okay. So we have to make it for everybody. And when they water it down like that, it's now no longer what it was. You lose the original fans, and then you're not going to get the new audience that you wanted, because they don't want to see fucking Star Wars or Star Trek. You know what I mean? That's not their deal. It's like, you're not going to get me to go see Cinderella. You can't say like, you know what? We want Cinderella, but we don't want Cinderella's fans. There's not enough of them. Let's appeal to Tom.
In particular.
Yeah, let's make Cinderella a man, and then we'll put him on roids.
Mandarella.
And then we'll give him...
I don't know, I might watch that.
We'll give him an AK.
And we'll make it a totally...
Yeah, that's what's happening. And we'll make Cinderella an action flick called Mandarella. And every Tom in the fucking universe will go see it. And fucking everybody will love it. And all the girls will love it because it's Cinderella. Because
it's a princess.
It's fucking stupid corporate thinking.
Tell you what, if they made Mandarella and he had to do all the stuff wearing a princess dress and a tiara, I would totally watch that shit.
You'd laugh at it, though. But
it would still be entertaining.
It would not be a $1 billion property.
Well, no, of
and that's what
not.
They, you know, they want.
Of course not.
$1.5 billion, fucking, you know, and it's going to be it's going to have prequels, sequels, and fucking three of
everything.
Each one.
I feel like everything's going to be a franchise. Now.
Yeah, and they're going to do that shit with a fucking, you know, a Cinderella reboot, rebooted for men. It's not going to fucking work. You know.
Although it would be fucking hilarious if somebody tried to do that.
Yeah.
I love it.
They're just they don't have any talent or...
Well, the thing about it is that, yes, there are movies that appeal to a broader audience and will make billions of dollars, like the Marvel movies and shit like that. But it's like, you know, not every movie has to appeal to everybody. That's okay. You know what I mean?
It's not okay for them because they're corporate.
Well, I know. And they're just trying to, like, make as much money as possible.
Yeah, they're corporate suits. And they paid a certain amount of money for a property, and now they have to triple their fucking investment.
Well,
and
you know,
that means numbers.
Yeah,
all right.
I know.
And you can't take a cult movie that was a spontaneous thing that happened in 1977, or a thing that failed on television. Star Trek failed on television.
Yeah, it didn't get popular until it went into syndication.
Right. So much to take that magic, okay, and try to make that for everybody. It's kind, even when the Shat was coming back with Leonard Nimoy to make movies, those movies weren't that big.
Yeah.
All right. Star Trek the Motion Picture, the very first one, bombed, basically. It didn't make, I don't think it made enough money on first release. It was kind of critically panned. I like it, though. I go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I like it, too. I actually ended up liking most of the Star Trek movies.
They're pretty good.
Because we've been rewatching them.
They held up. But in the day, you know, people were kind of very used to that kind of shit. I remember the first one. I Motion Picture I thought was really good. The first one that blew me away, though, was Wrath of Khan.
Well, Wrath of Khan is, like, pretty much everyone's favorite. I think that's universally
With the fucking
thought to be the best one.
Mexican Superman. On there. Like Ricardo Montalban. You don't. That was the
and
next.
His fine Corinthian leather his fine chest.
People thought that was a fake chest. That was not a fake chest. Ricardo was a fucking man. You know, he is. He worked out. He was in his 50s. He looked fucking good, man.
He did, yeah.
For his age, and he fucking was.
Well, he made it. He makes like a really good villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he just chemically. That character was really good, even when he first showed up in a TV series.
He had some gravitas.
Yeah, and what was funny is even Scotty says, the augments, you know, they were bad, they were tyrants, but he was my favorite one.
They knew he was cool.
He was kind of cool. Yeah. And he lived. You know, they gave him a woman and let him go. You can't be a dictator anymore. Yeah. Captain Kirk,
go over
thank
there.
You.
Be yeah, fine. Yeah.
Fucking, he was fucking Ricardo was the shit, man. Well, I grew up seeing him, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too. It's like when we saw the Blumhouse Fantasy Island, which, you know, was not terrible.
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was amazing. It was amusing.
But, but you can't... I mean, some characters... I mean, Ricardo Montalban is Mr. Warwick. You just can't... It's just kind of like I was thinking about the other day, like when we were talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not, you know, the original movie wasn't real close to the book, but Gene Wilder, to me, is Willy Wonka. Yeah. Nobody else can play Willy Wonka because that's just, that's that character, even though he's nothing like the character in the book. But some characters are just so linked to the people that play them that anybody else that tries to play them, it's just not going to work. And it's not like necessarily the actor's fault that tried to do it. It's just...
Well, Kirk was a character basically, you know, fine-tuned and created by the Shat.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of input. Those
actors. Same with Spock and Leonard Nimoy.
Same with Spock.
That's why it's hard.
Nimoy.
And I liked Zachary Quinto, who did Spock in the, J.J. Abrams movies. I think he did a really good job. He's a good Spock. But Leonard Nimoy, I mean, that was his character.
Right.
I mean, he pretty much came up with that
character. Well, it was kind of the same with Ricardo Montalban and fucking Khan.
Yeah.
You know, he defined that character. And then when the movie came out, you know, he fucking had a lot of input on what Khan was going to do and how he would have reacted to shit.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that was back in the day when an actor could have input.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think they let him do that as much
They do
anymore.
Not on maybe zillion-dollar movies, but probably like most independent ones. It depends on the director, I would assume. Because some directors are more open to, you know, feedback from actors.
I'm hoping, in recent years, in the past fucking 10 years, and we revisited this movie, there's really only one fucking masterpiece in the past 10 years when it kind of comes to action sci-fi, and that was fucking Fury Road.
Yeah.
That movie holds up every
way
you watch it.
We just rewatched it again a couple nights ago. I've seen it like 12 times.
All the four elements of the apocalypse there, you know what I mean, fucking in terms of male and female, which is gasoline and blood and milk and water, the fucking, you know, four elements, you know, and the gender with male and female, all, you know, that theme that ran through it, I liked it.
Yeah.
I think whoever backed him wanted him to have kind of like, during that time, that was the beginning of kind of like, you know, gender representation, you know, where they had to bring more of that into the fucking movies. And really, you know, that director, he already kind of had some of that, but I don't really think that was his thing. But I like how he did it kind of like in an alchemical format.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of symbolism in the movie to try to balance, you know, kind of like male and female energy. Did you pick that up?
Up
on the movie? You know what I mean? I mean, it took care.
There's a lot going on in that movie.
A lot. Yeah. And there was a lot going on in Road Warrior.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize it, you know, but there was a lot of subliminal messaging in the Road Warrior, especially centered around the Jabba captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. What he was wearing and, you know, what was on his fucking gyrocopter and who he was. Actually, the gyro captain was the hero of the movie, not really Max. Max was kind of an anti-hero.
Yeah.
He did help. in the end. You know what I mean? He was honorable. He did help those people out, but hey, Kitty, what you doing? I'm
moving. She's moving shit around. She's like, what?
But the real hero that got the girl and saved the people with the job was the Jabba captain.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff in, you know, in what he's wearing, and you know, there's a bunch of messaging in there. You didn't notice that?
Well, I think that's why those movies have, like, you know, that people still talk about them today is because of, like, the subtext that they had and shit like that.
He's trying to retain his fucking, a civilized side to himself, you know what I mean? He's motivated by love and shit and women. He's got women all over his gyrocopter, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to be a romantic figure and shit. You know? It's funny. That guy.
All right, so you want to wrap up the Saturday show?
Yeah, wrap it up. I got shit I got
to
do.
Yeah, and like probably Pookie looks like she's about to like stick her
And she's butt. Moving the camera.
She keeps like moving. She's like, this is not comfortable. I want to lay down on the desk. And
why are you moving my camera?
And the camera's
and she's
in the
looking
way.
At me moving at the camera like,
yeah,
don't
she's
move
like,
the camera.
What the fuck are you doing? She's like giving this face. We refilled her little water thing this morning. I don't know if we ever said this on the show, but we have one of those bowls that like you put, you fill up this big water jug and then you turn it upside down and it like, you know, keeps filling up the bowl. And she loves that shit. Whenever it gets refilled and all the bubbles go up in it, she thinks that there's little, she thinks the bubbles are
little creatures coming from another dimension.
So she's trying to like catch them. Her little arms like go around it. She's like, And it's like she always has, whenever you fill it and you put it down on the floor, she'll stare at it for a few with her little head cocked to the side, like watching the bubbles.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she'll jump and like try to get it. It's like really funny. We had video of it somewhere, but I don't know what happened to it. All right. So hopefully you guys have a nice rest of your Saturday, and we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. See ya.